أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And welcome back to Living the Quran through the Living Quran. In this series, we've been going over chapter number 56, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the chapter known as the Great Event or the Inevitable Event. And as we had mentioned in our beginning discussions, that this is in regards and in relation to the end of this world, some of the events which would precede the coming of the impending doom of this world, and more importantly, what will occur after that this world has ended, meaning on the plains of the Day of Judgment. So up until this point, as we've been going over the first two parts, we looked at, obviously, some of the events which would lead up to the end of this world. And then we previously looked at the groups of humanity. We mentioned how, as God says in these verses, that humanity will be divided up into three distinct categories. You had the foremost of the foremost. You had the people who were known as the people on the right hand, those of felicity, those of success, of prosperity. And then we had the people of the left hand, those who were destined for the fires of hell. Today in our discussion, we want to look at some of the pleasures of paradise. What will await those people, men and women, who make it into the gardens? Obviously, the discussion is vast in this particular chapter and in many other verses of the Quran in which God speaks about paradise and the pleasures and the things awaiting those who reach to that grand position. In today's discussion, obviously, we will be brief and look at what has been mentioned by Sheikh Mohsin Qiraati in his Tafsir An-Nur. However, before we go to that, let us have a listen to the Arabic of these verses and then the English translation, and they will come back and review the understanding that Sheikh Qiraati has presented to us. Allah says the following in Surah Al-Waqi'ah in verses number 17 through to 24.
يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقَ وَكَأْسٍ مِّن مَّعِينٍ
Their young sons will go round about them, who will remain as young as ever, carrying goblets and shining beakers and cups full of pure and clean drink.
لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون
They will get no headache or giddiness from their drinks. Nor will they be inebriated and talk nonsense, and carrying such fruits as they choose, and with the flesh of birds, cooked exactly to their taste.
وَحُورٌ عِينٌ كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونِ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ
And there will be present fair houris with lovely large eyes, chaste like pearls, well guarded and well preserved. Such shall be the reward of their good deeds. Now, before we go into the understanding of these verses, let us look at some of the words which God has used to make up these passages, this collection of verses, because in order to better understand the content of these quotations of the Quran, we need to also delve into the meanings of some of the key words. So the first word is the word akwab, which is the plural of the word kub. And this refers to a cup without a handle, and also to a tube or a spout, and may also resemble some types of cups which are used today that we use to drink out of. The next word is abarik, and this is the plural of the word ibrik. And it refers to a dish, like a plate, for example, which has handles and a spout. So something like a pot, more like a tea kettle or a kettle that we use to cook, a hot drink in. The next word is kas. And now this word refers to a glass, which is full of something to drink. And another word which is used in this passage is ma'in, which refers to the actual flowing drink. A few other words as we round out this discussion is the word yusadda'un. And this comes from the word suda, and it means a headache. You know, and we have example, for example, that's mentioned in the Arabic, a translation would be, as it usually commonly said, is, you know, I don't want to give you a headache by what I'm about to say or because of my incessant talking. And so this word again refers to the term, the headache that a person would sometimes gain even from drinking something. Another word to keep in mind is the word yunzifun, and this comes from the Arabic word of nazf, and it means to give way to our intellect. And its original meaning was actually to gradually empty the water from a well. And so there is this understanding by the use of this word that, you know, it is giving way to our intellect by emptying it of what it originally contained. Now, just in very brief summary, so we can conclude this passage, is that when God speaks in this portion about some of the benefits and the pleasures of paradise, one of the things which he speaks about are these hurul ayn, as they're referred to in multiple verses of the Quran. And really here, the best phrase which can be used in regards to these women, if we want to call them that, these women in paradise, these damsels, these maidens that will be there, who are in paradise, is how God compares them to pearls in their shell. And, you know, they're basically described such that at the same time that they are beautiful to look at, and they're illuminating, they're radiant, they're glowing, they're shining, they're also protected from the advances of those who should not be in their company. And they are also far away from the glances of individuals that they are not related to, what we refer to as the ghayru mahram. And obviously that is a term that we use in Islamic jurisprudence in terms of the level of connectivity that men and women who are not related to one another can have. But in this passage, we see that God speaks about these damsels that will be in paradise. These huris, as they're called, with large, lovely eyes. He compares them to being like pearls in a shell. They are guarded and preserved. And that this is one of the rewards of those in paradise. Now, let us conclude this very brief discussion with some takeaway messages, a few points to reflect upon. Point number one is that all of the things which a person wishes to engage with in paradise will be available there, meaning that there are no limitations in paradise. Whatever we want, we will be able to have that. There are no limits, or there is no issue of permissible or impermissible in that land of paradise. Number two, the second point to reflect upon, is that the pleasures which will be in paradise will be there perpetually, meaning that they're there forever. You will never lose those blessings. And this is seen by words such as yatakhayyarun and the word yashtahun, that both of these have been mentioned in the present tense verb, and this denotes continuity and also perpetuity. So these pleasures are, again, forever. And last but not least, is that in terms of the methodology, when we go forth to propagate and invite others towards good actions, towards piety, towards God consciousness, when we go down that route, one of the methodologies that we should think about and we should implement is that we should never overlook the role which is played by explaining the rewards of the next life. You know, sometimes in order to encourage maybe our children or community or just human beings in general to be righteous, good people, to follow the teachings of a religion, we need to explain the benefits that are awaited in the world to come. And sometimes that can be enough of a stimulation, of a way to encourage us towards the good actions. We ask God that we are able to benefit from these verses, that we can rectify our actions to be worthy of having such rewards in paradise. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.